Okay, here's the setting. You and two of your friends are on break in the break room at work. And you've known these people for a few years, and you talk together about everything from, which orthodontist you take your kids to who you think's going to win the Super Bowl. And in the process of talking over coffee there in your break, a biblical term comes up. And one of them shrugs his shoulders and says, "Yeah, but what's that? What is that?" You know? So that's kind of what we're doing. We don't want to go in to a doctoral dissertation on what all the Bible says about that everywhere. But what we're doing here on Sunday mornings is we're looking for good, straightforward, simplistic answers to those kinds of questions. We think there should be. This morning, we're going to seek answers to the question, holiness. What's that? The biblical understanding of holiness should not be hard to explain. When my oldest son was in junior high school, he was invited to go to church by one of his classmates. And, so I said, "Well, yeah, that's fine, but you need to understand that church is a good deal different than the Baptist churches you've grown up in." He said, "What do you mean it's different?" I said, "Well, it's a holiness church." And I said, "Those are good people, and I think it'll be a good experience for you, so, you know, go ahead and go, but just kind of prepare yourself." So when he came back, he said, "Oh my, that's really different than our church." In the description of his perception of that church, he used the word chaos. He had been so uncomfortable in that worship service that he had excused himself and gone out and waited in the truck for his friend and his family to come out. So, you know, I'm talking to my son, and he said, "Dad, why do they use the word holiness in the name of their church? Is that what holy means?" Well, that's a good question. It's a good question. Asking about holiness, junior high boy to his dad, or good friend over coffee, that's a legitimate question to ask. We'll begin by saying this. The term is way misunderstood. It's misused in so many places. And perhaps that's where we should start this morning, is talking about the things holiness does not mean. Holiness does not refer to worship style, either charismatic or Catholic or Baptist, as far as that goes. We all have different worship styles, but it would be improper for us to define our worship service as holy to the exclusion of all other worship services. Holiness does not refer to the Pope in Rome. I know very often you'll hear good-hearted, sincere Catholics refer to the Pope as His Holiness, and that's a title they've come up with to refer to him, but that's really not biblical use of the word, improper use of the word. Holiness is not a subjective concept. It's not a matter of opinion. It would be inaccurate to say what is holy to you may not be holy to me. Or it would be improper to say my understanding of holiness or my definition of holiness allows this kind of behavior or allows that kind of behavior, regardless of what your understanding of holiness allows. It's objective. Holiness does not change with culture. Cultures change, but holiness does not change. I don't think there's ever been a culture in the history of the world that has been so conflicted and so intent on changing the definition of the Bible, or changing the definition of biblical terms or biblical concepts, and trying to wrap those things around culture. That just does not work. Holiness is in the same category as reality and truth. Reality doesn't change. Culture changes to match reality. Truth doesn't change. Culture has to change to meet the definition of truth. Holiness never changes. Culture has to change to meet the definition of holiness. In fact, we don't get to define holiness at all. We are introduced to the concept of holiness in only one source, the Bible. And we are educated on the concept of holiness in only one place, and that's the Bible. There is no other source, you know, that we learn from, we compare the two. The Bible is the only source for the understanding of holiness. So this morning we're going to turn to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about holiness. Let's begin with this. Holy, or holiness, is an inventory of traits. The summers before my freshman and sophomore years, in both summers, I worked for an office supply store. Now, this was before Office Depot, you know, this was before Office Max. In fact, it was before computers. So this was a mom-and-pop shop, is what we would call it today. This was a mom-and-pop shop that sold a wide array of office supplies out there on the shelves in the front of the store. There was a store room back in the back, but out there on the shelves, a wide array of office supplies. Now, as customers purchased those products from the shelves out there, the supply would deplete, and when it gets down to a certain point, then the owner wants to replenish his supply by ordering more product. Now, today, I think maybe that's all managed by computer. I think all of that's kept track of by computer, but it wasn't then. The only way to keep track of the number of those supplies was to go out with a clipboard and a spreadsheet and physically count the products on the shelves. When we got through with it, it was non-negotiable. You can't manipulate it. You can't add to it or take away from it. That was called the product inventory. It was what it was. It just was what it was. Well, that's a good way to think of holiness. We'll talk about some of the other uses of the word holiness in a moment. But for now, we're going to focus on the idea that holiness is an inventory of traits or an inventory of characteristics. You can't manipulate it. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. You can't massage it. You can't change it. It just is what it is. It just is what it is. In fact, we all have a personal inventory of traits. You and I could sit down together and I could, with my clipboard, I could begin asking you questions about your personality, about your life, and, you know, as you answered those questions, I could begin listing your traits. And when we got through with that interview, we would wind up with an inventory of your traits. You know, one of them might be that you're a caring person. Well, I'd write that down. One of those might be that you're a worrier. I would write worrier down there. It might be that you're a courageous defender of the underdog. Whoa, that's a good, I'd write that down. It may be that you're afraid of spiders. From that time when you were a kid and you got locked in your grandpa's tool shed with all those spiders, ever since then you've been afraid of spiders. I'd write that down, afraid of spiders. Whoa, that's important. You know, it might be that you love the sound of a faraway train whistle at night. That just puts you to sleep. Might be that you hate the sound of fire trucks. It might be that you love dogs and hate cats. Of all the things to get an amen on. And on and on and on. You know, we would wind up then with an inventory of your traits, an inventory of your characteristics. This list would be a unique list. There, you know, you might be some things on your list that's on other people's lists, but your list of personality traits or your list of character inventory would be a unique list, and we would write your name on the top of it, and that would become your inventory of traits unique to you. Unique to you. So, one of the most dominant understandings of the word holy in Scripture is that holiness is an umbrella term for a particular collection of characteristics. Holy defines a particular inventory of characteristics. This collection of characteristics includes such characteristics as eternal, powerful, brilliant, capable, righteous, as in always right, just, meaning perfect in justice, loving, merciful, compassionate, sacrificial, dependable, trustworthy, consistent, parental, meaning a perfect parent, redeemer, and on and on and on. You're as familiar with those as I am. And just like with any inventory, holiness cannot be manipulated. It can't be changed. It can't be massaged. It can't be moved around. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it based on what you as an individual happen to be going through in your life right now. Your life, my life, have nothing to do with that inventory. Get it? Holy. What is that? What is holy? Well, to begin with, it's an inventory of characteristics, a unique inventory of characteristics. Second thing, holiness is the personality of God. Psalm 77:13 says, God, your way is holy. Holy describes God. So now we ramp up the definition of holiness quite a bit. Now we say this, holiness is an inventory of perfect and pure characteristics that describe God's personality. We add the element of perfection and purity. Just a point of clarification here. There is no holiness apart from God. Isaiah 5 verse 16 says, the holy God is distinguished by righteousness. It's His. It's only His. He's distinguished by righteousness. He is unique in His holiness. It's not as if a concept of holiness already existed and we thought, you know, God fits that. It's not as if, you know, we looked at God and we said, you know what? You know what would be a good word to describe God? Holiness. Holiness would be a good word to describe God. No, God defines holiness. He is the definition of holiness. We look at God and we say, oh, God's holy. God is holy. God is unique in His holiness. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2 says, there is no one holy like the Lord. Holiness belongs exclusively to God. Holiness separates God from all of us. Holiness is an umbrella term used to describe God's unique inventory of characteristics. That's why in Scripture, holy is used as a prefix of God's name more than any other title. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Holy, 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 Lord God the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is coming. Isaiah 57, 15. For the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. Isaiah 43, 15. God says, I am the Lord, your Holy One. Exodus 15, 11. Lord, who is like you among the gods, little g, who is like you, glorious in holiness. And we can go on and on, but let me share one more. Psalm chapter 71, verse 22. I will sing to you with harp, Holy One of Israel. I will sing to you with the harp, great God of Holy One of Israel. So holy describes God's completely unique personality. That's his name, holy. You know, I'm sure this is true with all of you too, but you can tell a great deal about my personality by looking at my third grade picture, class picture that was taken. Let me set this up for you. Years and years ago, when I was a child, there was a very popular haircut called a flat top. And the way that was, you know, almost all the boys had it. The way that was done was you go to the barber and he'd cause your hair to stand up and he'd lay a big comb in your hair with big teeth and he'd, you know, he'd cut off all the hair above that flat top. And then he'd use this, you know, now you call it product. Back then it was just called butch wax. And you take the butch wax and you cause the hair to stand up in front all the way around the side and it was flat. It was flat on top. Very popular. So, very stylish, I might add, you know. It kind of made a statement about the family. Oh, look, he's got a flat top. Whoa. So before my third grade class pictures, my parents took me to get my flat top on Saturday before the pictures were going to be made on Monday. And so I got this clean, groomed, perfectly shaped flat top for my third grade photograph. So on Monday, just as they were leading us third graders in there, I took my hand and I went, so hair was just sticking everywhere. And when I sat down for the picture, I went, and so then when my mom opened our photographs, she was aghast. She really never got over it. She told my dad, and I remember this conversation there in the kitchen, she told my dad, I give up. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. And my dad waited until my mom turned her back and he winked at me and he said, I guess we're going to have to rename him Mischief. I guess we're going to have to rename him Mischief. Now, I had a lot of other characteristics, but at that point in my life, Mischief pretty much characterized who I was. Now, I don't own that name alone. I've met a lot of boys and girls over the years for whom the name Mischief would have been a pretty good description. You may have one of them. I've met boys and girls here in this church for whom Mischief is a pretty good name. God's name is holy, but the difference is he doesn't share that with anyone else because no one else is holy. That's his name. All the other traits he have are grouped underneath that name, holy, but he doesn't share that with anyone. God alone is holy. Holy is used to describe God alone. God alone. Now, third thing, holiness is the propensity of man. And by that I mean holiness is the desire of every person in the world. In the beginning, when we were first born, we all have a desire to be holy like our God. We have a desire to be like our Creator. We, the created, long to be like our Creator God. Simon Tugwell describes it this way: it is the desire for God which is the most fundamental appetite of all, and it is an appetite we can never eliminate. We may seek to disown it, but it will not go away. If we deny that it's there, we shall in fact only divert it to some other object or range of objects. And that will mean that we invest some creature or creatures with the full burden of our need for God, a burden which no creature can carry. So in the beginning of our lives, we long to be like our Father God. Even though as we age, we divert that longing over onto other things, philosophies, convictions, created things, men, women. We divert that. But the hungering, the yearning to be like our Father, for the created, want to be like our Creator, never goes away. It never goes away. We may wander a long way from that yearning, but it's always there with us. We carry it with us wherever we go. We can deny we have it, but it doesn't change the desire of the created to want to be like the Creator. It's always there in our heart. It's always there in our bosom. In fact, it is our search to be like God that shapes who we become. And then to complicate the matter, all through life, God beckons us to be like Him. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. God says, I am the Lord your God, so you must consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I'm holy. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. God says, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. There is nothing more sad, I think, than a child who longs to be like their parent but can't for some reason or another. You know, the child who wants to be like their surgeon parent, but they can't because they lack the aptitude. Or the child who longs to be like their courageous military parent, but they can't because they never have the opportunity. They fall short. Or the child who longs to be like their athletic parent, want to be a great athlete like their parent, but they can't because they have some physical deficiency and just they can never be like their parent. That's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. Child longing to be, wanting to be like parent, but can just never get there. It shapes them. It shapes that child. It shapes us. From birth, we've longed to be holy like our Father. And God, our Father, stands before us and beckons us. Be like me. Be like me. Be holy. Be holy like me. And we want to be, but we just can't get there. We can't do it. Holiness. Your friend asks, what is that? What is holiness? I hear about it all the time. What is that? We want to have an answer. We want to have a straightforward answer. Let me put a statement up on the screen here. Holiness is an inventory of perfect and pure characteristics that describes God's personality. Describes God's personality. God's holiness. Do we have that also? God's holiness is what separates him from us and renders us what? He is holy. And it is that holiness that separates us from him. And to the extent, to the degree we cannot be like him, we then are unholy. I'm unholy. I'm not like God. You're unholy. You're not like God. That has another name. Sinful. All have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. The wages of unholiness is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. You see, this is a sad condition as we define holiness, but there is a solution, and his name is Jesus. And as we turn to Jesus, God's holy Son, he is the in-between for us. He bridges the gap between unholy man and holy God. Jesus came, died on the cross, paid the sin debt, so that now I can trust him and follow him. And as I do that, then he forgives my sin debt and moves into me with his what? Holy Spirit. Not just his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. And now binds unholy man to holy God. Isn't that a great thing? It shouldn't be that difficult to explain the biblical understanding of holiness. Be ready. You understand it. Help them understand it. You might be surprised at what happens next. Pray with me.